In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lend unto others, not expecting to be repaid. Good business advice, right? Obviously, this is not business advice. This is Christ's teaching, based on our understanding of the way the world is, followed by a commandment from the incarnate Son of God. The commandment is, love others. Now, how do we act if we love someone? We lend to them, not expecting to be repaid. If our children are in a desperate situation, or our elderly parents are in a desperate situation, we lend them money, seeking to preserve their sense of self-respect. We would say, lend. This is a loan, it's not a gift. Repay me when you can. And do we expect to be repaid? If so, we rejoice because we know that it's because they're doing well. But if not, our primary concern in the beginning was never for a business deal. Love others. Lend, not expecting a return. Do good, not expecting to have good done back to you. This is how God deals with us, and this is how Christ commands us to deal with one another. Love others. That is the high level at which he ends his teaching. But he didn't begin there. The first thing that we heard was, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It doesn't contradict the high teaching commandment of Christ, but it is wisdom that we can understand at a natural level. It's wisdom that has been understood in the world long, long centuries before the coming of Christ. You can find it in the Old Testament. You can find it in ancient China. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It is the natural law of our conscience. A person of conscience will do unto others as he would have others do unto him. And if we have the love that Christ commands us to have, when they don't do unto us as we have done unto them, that is, in goodness and decency and love and compassion, when instead they return evil to us, then what do? They are then our enemies. They have broken that code of the natural law. We continue to do unto them as we would have them do unto us. Love your enemies. Not because we expect the rule of a natural exchange, a reciprocity. I did this to you and you did badly to me, so now all bets are off. That would be according to the natural law. It would be just. But Christ's commandment goes beyond the natural law. We live in a world today where it seems as though to be successful in dominating others, to be successful in domination itself, is the definition of success. In business life, in sports, in just about every area of life where there is competition possible with others, domination of the situation, control, is the goal. We used to have a system in America, an economic system called capitalism. It meant the use of money to fund enterprises that people would begin on their own. And it worked very well. It's not working as well as it used to because now our nation is dominated by an economic level of the effort to control and dominate the market, system, all sources of desire. Used to talk about natural resources, but the natural resources that are there in order to be able to be exploited today are the passions and desires of the individual person. And ethics, morality, it has nothing to do with the exploitation of any need, whether it's medicine, whether it's food, no matter what it is, even wars. If it is possible to dominate and control the situation and to make a profit, then almost anything is permitted. The idea that there are bonds between human beings as individuals and that we are all each as human as one another, the egalitarian ideal of America, is swept away. We no longer believe in equality, that I am as good as another person and all of them are as good as me. And it's a political ideal. Down at the natural level, not at Jesus' high level of calling us to love one another, but down at the natural level, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is thrown out because now there is a reliance on raw power, raw control, domination, force. And those who are able to be most forceful and most successful and most dominant, they become our idols. They are the ones that young people aspire to be like. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which has been for thousands of years the basic rule of human civilization, is considered naive. It's reached the point that it only survives as a kind of sales technique, a kind of strategy for winning the confidence of the person that you would like to comply with whatever your actual desires are. Because we know psychologically that others will respond to our treating them decently and kindly and nicely and seeming to have respect for them, even though we actually don't, even though we are actually seeking to control and dominate them. We might flatter them. We might speak nicely to them. But it's only to take advantage of them. Because after all, the prime interest in our life is to be successful. To be successful amongst others, this kind of false flattery, false conviviality, false humor is necessary. It's a sales technique. It works because in the minds and hearts of every human being is inscribed this natural law of conscience. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When others treat us with kindness and decency, it's very difficult for us to respond, even if we suspect that they are not genuine in any way other than a like fashion. And so this natural law is used against us. It's very difficult to function in this kind of a society, in this kind of a world, where domination of others is the ideal. And those who are good at it rise to the top and consider themselves superior. As a result, the vast majority has become defensive, cautious, suspicious. The possibility of linking up in like compassion and understanding of others, thinking of all of us together as the same egalitarian, the same kind of human being, not predators trying to take advantage of us, but other human beings simply trying to live a good and decent life as we are. That would be complete naivety in the kind of world that we live in. Into this kind of world, because this is the way the world has almost always been, except for those brief moments when people have responded to this high ideal, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Today, some people would call that communism. Some people would call it, who knows what, fascism, any name they could think of. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Completely impractical in the kind of world that we live in. Power, control, domination, those are the only things that work. If you're not in a position to be able to use those, then you have to just do the best you can. Into this kind of world, the Son of God is born. Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate, is born. And he teaches. He begins with the wisdom that people know is wisdom, even though people don't follow it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the moral code that is carved into our conscience, even though we're outraged by the fact that we live in a world that ignores it. And then he goes beyond that, and he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Be kind to those who spitefully use you. When someone does evil to you, return goodness to them. And an example that he started with that we can all relate to and understand. Lend and give unto others, not expecting return. That is how we treat those that we love, and only them. Jesus is saying that we are to be like God, who deals with us in that way. He loves us. We live in ways that are contrary to how he is, contrary to the way that he created us to be, and he responds by forgiving us, by treating us as he would like to be treated, by loving us with the kind of love that he knows that human beings are made to give. And only by giving that love, returning that love to God and then to others, can we be the beings that he created. Anything else, we're less than the beings that he created. What does it mean to love? When we begin our lives as children, we believe, being children, that to be loved is to be taken care of and to have our needs be more important than anything else. It is a child's expectation. An infant would not survive if they weren't cared for. A child would not be able to develop to the point that they became mature, at least as far as body and mind are concerned, and reach the point that they would understand that love is more than just, if you are good to me, if you treat me well and please me and give me pleasure, then that means you love me. As adults, we must realize that that is not the true nature of love. That is an abuse of anyone who would love us in that way. Now, as parents, we love our children sacrificially. Someday they will realize, possibly, that we loved them sacrificially, that we loved them more than we loved ourselves. Hopefully, we don't use our children as images of ourselves. For our pride, that would be abuse. But to be a parent, to be a good father, to be a good mother, is to love our children sacrificially. Our children grow up and hopefully reach the point where they realize that receiving love, demanding love, is not the highest kind of love. And demanding that those who love us, and prove and show that they love us, is really an abuse of their love. Love is something more. Love goes beyond that. Oftentimes I've told people when they asked about love, love is something that you do. And I mean to tell them, love is not an emotion. Love is not a passion. It is something that you do. And I've been surprised to hear people say, but I bought flowers. But I did this. I planned a great vacation. I went and I did something special. I spent my money in order to show that I had regard for my husband or my wife. And that isn't what it means when we say to love is to do something in love. When we do something in love, we forgive when we are offended. We love in a situation where someone has been an enemy to us. In this case, the someone closest to us that we would never expect to do something like that. We would expect always to be treated well, always to be treated decently. That old childish version of love. If you loved me, you would do this. You would be pleasing me. You would be making me feel better. That's what it means to be loved for a child. Each of us, if we are loving as adult human beings, as Christians, we are loving in the way Christ would have us love. To be like the Father. To love with forgiveness. Not to hold things that have been done in the past against a person in the back of our mind so that the other person knows that they are always there. And then occasionally when there's a flare-up, there is a long litany of those things and we realize, yes, those things are still in the heart of this man or this woman that I am married to, my husband or my wife. That is not loving. That is the opposite of loving. It is going back to thinking like a child. Demanding a standard that I always receive the kind of love that a child receives from someone who owes them everything because they are incapable of loving on their own part. That is the kind of love that Christ commands us. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't give it to us as an option that this would be more wise or try this, it might work. That was the way the old natural law was. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A salesman can do that with the person they're trying to sell something to, and it can be successful. But this isn't a strategy like that can be, that abuse of that moral standard. It can't be a strategy to love someone else sacrificially, to love and be willing to die for that person. Rather than to have a demand for a reciprocity, a decent response in exchange. This is the kind of love that we are called to have for one another. It will transform us. It will transform our relationship with our husband, our wife, and any member of the family or stranger. It will transform that relationship. It's not a command that you simply, I will just start doing this. It's a command that begins a spiritual effort of asceticism, of refusing to abuse the love of another person, refusing to abuse the love that God has for us by demanding that we be treated according to the kind of justice that our selfish desire for affection would expect. That's the kind of love that proves that we are Christian. We fall short of acting with that kind of love and compassion toward others. We fall short of loving with that kind of love and compassion in our families, with our husbands and our wives. And when we do, we ask forgiveness. And we get forgiveness because the other person wants to be forgiven. Expects forgiveness of us. That's that reciprocity. And that's how we are expected to live our lives. Even when those closest to us sound like enemies and are making themselves enemies to our selfishness and spark in us a rage and anger that we've been betrayed by the one that we love, the one that we trusted, we are expected to repent and to return to this spiritual discipline that is the love of others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.